Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Radical Transformational Leadership with Dr. Monica Sharma, heard every other Tuesday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Saturday, 6 a.m. Eastern. This is a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network production on the Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age platform. To learn more, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. The survival and future of humanity and civilization depends on the framework Monica Sharma outlines in Radical Transformational Leadership. It is my sincere hope that anyone who wants to participate in healing our wounded planet will read this book and follow its principles. Anyone who doubts that the changes needed to lift our world beyond the chaos of today's deep problems and political chest thumping need look no further than this book. The new field she describes as radical systems and cultural transformation constitutes a kind of invisible renaissance emerging around the world of understanding the entwined inner and outer nature of genuine systemic change. I invite you into this most powerful show with Dr. Monica Sharma.
Thank you so much, Deborah, for introducing me and for supporting this work in a world that's truly in crisis with huge potential. Today, we have a very special guest speaker. Her name is Jean Houston. Most probably, most of you know her. Dr. Jean Houston is a scholar, a philosopher, an educator, and is a recognized pioneer of the human potential movement. She is widely recognized in many, many countries as a visionary leader, as a multicultural expert. And whatever Jean does resonates with people from different cultures. She's the author of over 30 books that explore human possibilities and positive action in the world. So she's not just an armchair philosopher. She's a philosopher that promotes positive action in the world. Jean Houston has served as an advisor in human and cultural development for UNICEF, for UNDP, and in other UN settings, and with national and international heads of state in other capacities with people. Jean Houston has devoted her life to developing processes to activate the latent abilities in individuals, groups, organizations, and societies. Over the last 60 years, Dr. Houston has worked in over 105 countries as an international speaker and teacher. Dr. Houston is the Chancellor of the Meridian University and a dedicated champion of the human spirit. Jean, I'm so delighted that you agreed to be on this radio show and to share your thoughts at this very crucial time. How would you like to begin? Maybe we talk about how you see the crisis in this world, and then maybe after I share my thoughts, we start working on what you see as opportunities. Well,
thank you. Thank you so much, Monica, and thank you for the very kind and overly generous introduction. But I'm so honored to be talking to you, who I consider to be, as you know, one of the 10 most important people alive today, the one who can truly get out there grounded in values, grounded in a depth of experience to profoundly make a difference. And I think your question leads me to think first of all about evolution. Whenever you look at the history of evolution, you discover that when things really get hot and in crisis, then it's as if a species or different kinds of species grow. There's something about the nature of acute challenge that activates the evolutionary potency in species, in institutions, in all manner of thought. And I do believe that is where we are now. In my life, I have lived through all manner of crises, but never this bringing together of crises on so many different levels, institutional, business, government, theological, and most of all, I think, and this is one of the most important of all, that which is not so much a crisis, but is an emergence. This, we might call it emergence through emergency, the rise of women all over the world to moral-based action and activity. And so I think that these are the times, and we are the people, we're the ones who are going to make the difference as to whether we evolve or perish. And to actually be there in the throes, you and I have both shared the fact that we have been in the midst of not just the crisis, but the ways of exploring what needs to develop in order for us to have a world, to have a species, and to have the moral power and capacity to be able to make the difference. In my case, it's been developing human capacities that are needed in order to be part of the positive affect in this time and space. In your case, it's been that, as well as the ability to take on tremendous crises, as you did with the AIDS epidemic and so many other things, and bring it bring these things to scale so that by the considered, focused way of working with individuals, institutions, and even countries, you have been able to bring about really change that in other times would have been considered mythic, that you have brought on the passion for the possible and the bringing on of a whole new possible story for not just human race, but for all species and for this particular unique time in history. In terms of the four levels that I've worked with for so many years, the first, of course, is the physical embodiment, the sensory level, that when we enhance our senses, both inward and outward, and enhance our sense of the glory of being incarnated in a body in a time in which what we do profoundly makes the difference, That's the first thing. You start with the body. And so we increase the body's capacities, its capacity for growth, for healing, and above all, for taking, again, this takes us to the psychological level, the moral action that is necessary. You brought up that marvelous term, moral compass. And yet, if we go back 400 or 500 years during the time of the great explorations and crossing over the seas into the continents, it was the compass that developed that allowed us to do this. But now the moral compass is more important even than the physical little mechanism of a compass, because what is our North Star of human possibility? So psychologically, we look at the incredible complexity of the human psyche. And we can work on all kinds of psychological capacities, capacities for learning, capacities for discernment, capacities even for transformation. But to really ground it in the moral values is what makes the greatest shift of all. Because without that, it makes no difference how smart or how unusual or creative we are. If we do not have the moral value as the essential form of our psychology, we essentially are out of here very soon. And then, of course, this brings us on to a new story. We are storied beings through and through. And many of our stories are changing, the ways of which we saw ourselves, the stories that we told each other. This is changing, and we are in a time in which a new story is emerging. It's a global story, but it's also the story about culture. Culture is so important. Culture is gesture. It is that which harvests the history of a particular people or peoples. And suddenly we are undergoing a sea change into something that is very, very different when we have a global society. And we've never really had stories about a global society. This is something where you, dear Monica, you have led the way. You are a pioneer into the new global story. What does it mean to be a global citizen? And then, of course, the very fact of the new science that is coming along in this new unitive, integral, spiritual format in which we find ourselves, that we don't just simply live in the universe, but according to quantum physics, the universe lives in us. We have modalities that the spiritual leaders of all times have known, but now it's becoming evident for everyone that we are. As I used to walk with an old man by the name of Teilhard de Chardin, and he's the one who said to me, "Jean, we are not simply human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And that means that we are universal beings with a consciousness that is part of the universe itself. So these are some of the things that we explore in some of my work.
Thank you, Jean. And, you know, you bring up this whole issue of story and narrative.
Yes.
And the two points that you and I anchor our work with, which is complementary, is that the work that you and I do is grounded in science. Whether
yes.
that is the beautiful quotation that you just spoke about and your experience that we are really part of the universe, there is also science related to these universal values as part of being a universal person. So science tells us today that, you know, we actually have innate capacity to be compassionate. Of course, science also tells us that our limbic system often hijacks us, and we are, you know, emotional beings. And yes, and that's fine, but as human beings with a higher consciousness, we have innate qualities such as compassion. And when you talk about human potential and activating that, that's one of it. And then we have evidence today that human beings actually care about fairness. That's innate in us. And there are surveys that show, for example, the one in Oxfam, done by Oxfam, that 92% of people in the U.S. Believe in fairness. Now, the narratives we have about fairness is another matter, and I'll just come to that. And the other piece that we know is that human beings worldwide in every culture, and you know that, Jean, you've worked worldwide in every culture, that we have an innate sense of self, of dignity, of self-worth. And this is a space that is cross-cultural. It doesn't mean that I need to be more educated or I might be anything else. So this universal global citizen is about tapping into these individual values that are innate in us in every part of the world. And that's such a potential that you've been talking about, Jean. And then about us in storytelling, you know, we have we say what we measure is what we move. And we also say that the narratives we have, the stories we have, depends on our lens, our worldview, and the way we see the world. So the same phenomena appears differently to different people. And we have narratives that are so diminishing. For example, there are narratives that say the people who are living in poverty. And by the way, poverty is actually a spin-off of structural inadequacy, right? Poverty in a world of abundance is not about the people. It's a structural defect we have, which leads to poverty. And then we will cover it up with stories like, you know, people are poor because they're lazy. Or, you know, in India, we'll say something like, people are poor because their karma is not okay. So we are storytellers. And the way in which we can transform the way we generate narratives is so important, Jean, and that's what you've been working on. And I'd want you to elaborate a little bit on the way in which you look at whole systems transformation.
Well, the fact is that all systems touch each other. You cannot have an isolated system. And the systems that are in transition, our sense of ourselves has grown exponentially, the way that we see who and what we are as minute but critical parts of the whole universe. The way in which economics affects, we thought, everything. And one of the things that I would relate to whole systems is that too many cultures find their story being denied because of economics being. I want to make economics as a kind of orphan of the soul of culture instead of the soul of culture being the orphan of economics. When all systems are in transition and everything is touching upon each other, then you look at the way that your values literally affects the whole. How do we move ourselves to a whole system values rather than ourselves being made, as I said, being made the puppets of one or another of the system structures? You know, one of the things I ask people is, are you holding a death wish or a life wish about your existence? You know, I see how many people get into a loop of chronic self-destructive thinking, sending out a regular stream of image signals that tell their bodies to sicken, their societies to die. We discover, and I think you've just stated this so beautifully, we are more in charge of our well-being than we've ever imagined. One of the things we're lacking, and it's something that you are providing in your work and have for so many years, is another narrative. You know, you are a physician, after all. What is the narrative of health that not only affects us as individuals, but affects whole societies? I know, for example, what you did with HIV/AIDS that affected goodness knows how many hundreds of thousands, even millions of people, because you were looking at a thing systemically. You have the enormous capacity to think systemically and thus to affect through your process of going to scale whole system transition. I would ask you, dear Monica, to speak to that now, to give an example of how you did it, and then I really am going to ask you the ultimate question, how do we work systemically, cross-systemically, to affect literally a new story for our planet and for our race and for all species?
Thank you, Jean. Yes, you know, you raised the first point of how I work. So for me, the word systems and whole systems is about interdependence.
It's interdependence, indeed.
Yes, and so for me, the value that underlies systems transformation and cultural transformation is a knowing of our interdependence, that we, you know, like how Martin Luther King says it so eloquently, I cannot be who I ought to be if you are not who you ought to be. And you cannot be who you ought to be if I am not who I ought to be. And this is the interdependent destiny of our lives. And so for me, holding that space and rooting our strategy in what is these universal values of dignity for all, not just dignity for the people I love, fairness, compassion, this ability to then craft strategies is vital. And the way we will do it as a second step is a fantastic discovery that you and I have always known, Jean, that human beings think pattern. They can see patterns. It doesn't matter what level of education they have, formal education. Human beings see patterns. Farmers who have been not schooled in the formal system can see patterns that they you know, have their crops grow with and how they lead their lives. When we can get people to understand the pattern behind the problem and be able to solve the problem by identifying the shifts that are required, we will create large-scale change. So just like for HIV and AIDS, we knew that a pattern that existed was one of othering, that I am better than you are. I don't have HIV, because too often HIV is entangled with sexuality and morality and judgment and all the things that we do to each other that don't enhance who we are and who all of us are. So what we did was to locate, anchor ourselves, locate is a more superficial word, anchor ourselves in dignity for everybody, in fairness in terms of access to medication, using medication, having services for testing. And so it was an equity-based, dignity-based, that everybody is treated the same way and that we will solve the everyday problems they face. And yes, we created in partnership with so many people, so many other UN agencies, so many other partners with government, civil society, the changes we needed. And that indeed is whole systems change. So for me, when we can work in an interdependent fashion, when we can identify very clearly the shifts that are required in the moment and are dynamic about it rather than stuck to our opinion, that we have a worldview that is able to shift as our science shifts and our knowledge shifts and our just our understanding shifts, and not get attached to our points of view and our position. Loosening the grip of that is so vital as we rest in our universal values for whole systems change. So Jean, we will respond, you and I, together after the break and talk about how do we work together and how do we look at the different ways of working together. Thank you.
Thank you.
We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, or culture, or of money. Monica's Counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion, described in her award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network twice a month on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity, sourcing our love. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, starting March 2019 in Oakland, California. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world, to think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic action in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda.
Wonderful to be back again. This is Monica, and thank you for joining us again, Jean. We were talking about whole systems transformation, and I know that you have a very eloquent way of describing the five forces that activate us, that move us. So what would you like to say about it?
Well, let's take the first force. The first force, Monica, would be the regenesis of human beings, a new way of seeing who and what we are, and I think that's happening all over. I often say to people, you are not an encapsulated bag of skin dragging around a very little ego. You are an evolutionary wonder. You are a trillion cells singing together in a vast chorale. You are an organism environment, a symbiosis of cell and soul. And so that's it. We are coded for a great deal more. One of the things we try to do is help people discover the codes of regenesis that can be accelerated and awakened and channeled into action, and how to expand the creativity to know that you don't just live in the universe lives in our. You are a magnificent way of relationship. I have seen, then we go to the regenesis of societies. I have seen and worked in, I guess, all told, about 109 countries to date and over 40 cultures, helping people realize their potential, both personally and socially. And my work in terms of the regenesis of society has taken me to the greatest spectrum of human need and human striving, from the Hindu woman who cleans the streets in Bangladesh, and who says, I need to be more, I need to be educated, I need to truly live what I am, to presidents of countries that I've worked with to turn around conditions in the midst of, what can we say, an avalanche of ignorance and an avarice of greed. And I've known saints, known and mostly unknown, the ones who have brought kindness, compassion, stick-to-itiveness, and rich springs of know-how and healing and understanding to broken lives, helping people to rise above their situation, to believe again, to rise to greatness, and coded with the glorious condition that we call human. I mean, we do know the Mother Teresa's, the Dalai Lama's, Jim Wallace. You don't just help pull people out of the river of misery in which they're thrown. You go up the river and catch the ones who are thrown in. And then, of course, we see this new narrative that we're talking about. A new narrative story that is the juice, that this is the remythologizing of the human, not just of human nature, but human social stories. Story that energizes our comings, our goings, it what gives life meaning, purpose, the will to go on. And now, as I say, we find ourselves in that new level of people coming together who had never touched before. This is part of the new story. A brand new story, one that was suspected by the ancients as well as indigenous people, but now is given passion and purpose by the discovery not just of the quantum nature of the universe, but of the fact that all of these people are beginning to come together. There is the breakdown of the traditional membranes that kept us separate, and this brings together the genius of so many of the different cultures of the human race, as well as the cultures that have sustained us for millennia, are now coming together to create something that is brand new. And so what we are seeing also is that our lives now regularly contain many times the amount of experience of our ancestors of earlier centuries. And our changes are accelerating in frequency and amplitude. So nothing thus seems to be impossible to us, and that's why you have the inevitable backlash of, oh, I can't do it. I've got to go back to old ways, make the country great again, or whatever. But it's in a time of breakdown and breakthrough, such as we're living now. There's not only a new story, there's also a new noble journey that you have talked about so brilliantly, Monica, a new noble journey that we must take, not just in search of a possible human, both within ourselves and others, but a possible world. As T.S. Eliot says in his great phrase, redeem the time, redeem the unread vision of the higher dream. And we are undertaking the extraordinary task of essentially releasing our limited local selves and being reborn to our larger self. And we are traveling deeper, finding levels of capacities and powers until we reach that eternal place of sourcing and resourcing, and that is the wisdom of the earth, the wisdom of the universe, the wisdom that resides in ourselves, with it the compassion, the depth of deep caring, deep overcoming the insularities of the past. And so I think that we are in that state of literally new ways of being and doing and creating a world that works for all. So yes, the regenesis of human nature, the regenesis of human societies, the breakdown of the membrane, and of course the breakthrough of the depths, both spiritual and cosmic. That's where we are.
Yeah, Jean, that's so amazing. It's so important that we are able to honor who we deeply are beyond guilt and be able to unleash our full creativity. So for me, this work of social transformation, cultural transformation, is so urgent today because so many of our conflicts are based on very narrow social identities. So it's not about what faith we follow, it's about being able to follow any faith, not as an exclusionary force, but as an inclusive space of our humanity. And that's what you did. You took people beyond a cultural identity, a national identity, a social identity, a religious identity, and deepened their connection to the greatness that human beings are, our higher consciousness, when our being informs our thinking, and that being and thinking informs our doing. So yes, when these three things are intertwined as a resonant space for ourselves, our well-being, and the well-being of our planet, something huge emerges. So yes, I feel that, you know, globally we are connecting. But connection alone does not make the change. It's connection based on our universal self, on who I am as part of the entire planet. The new archetypes that are emerging, because these new archetypes are not just looking at, you know, the damsel in distress to save, are not heroes jumping in. These archetypes are very sophisticated. They are the new superheroes that understand the space that you talked about, the economics that determines the division and the greed in the world, the narratives we have about finance and money. Money is nothing but a proxy of transactions. Mm-hmm. And the way in which we have created artificial values that really do not resonate. You know, I was just with a friend of yours, Jean, and we spoke about you when we talked on our radio program, Hazel Henderson,
yes.
And we were talking about you and we were talking about beauty. And you know that Hazel has this new program called Ethical Gems. So why do we need to mine diamonds, like blood diamonds, and sacrifice lives of miners and children, and how we can create beautiful crystals in the laboratory. So beauty must not be exploitative. Beauty must not be an artificial creation. So we are at a time when we can create new narratives about beauty instead of the materialistic propaganda that tells young people that if you didn't own 5 mansions and 5 BMWs, then you're not worth anything.
So you know, talk about beauty, and I'm reminded of the great poem by Emily Dickinson when she says, "Beauty crowds me till I die. Beauty, mercy have on me. But if I expire today, let it be in sight of thee." And you bring up our great friend, Hazel Henderson, who is about to be 86. And this brings up the archetype of the sage, because elders, as has been said, are the jewels of humanity that have been mined from the earth, I mean, cut in the rough, then buffed and polished by the stonecutter's art into precious gems that we recognize for their enduring value and beauty. We sense their radiance in our youth, but we cannot contain it. It truly requires a lifetime's effort to carve out the multifaceted structure that can display our hidden splendor in all its glory. So what we really have is the rise of the sage, the elders. I mean, and the need to exchange old cultural misperceptions of aging and take on the mantle of the sage. When let's talk about emerging archetypes, the carrier of wisdom for our time, and to discover in the sage a most needed and positive presence for good in the world. I mean, a radical usefulness and creativity, new ways of being and doing that will help families and friends and organizations. I mean, that's part of my hope for one of the great new archetypes, the power of the sage, the power of experience, especially having had so much experience in a time in which there have been so many, many changes over the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years.
Right. You talk about the sage gene, and what we know is that there are young people who are seem like 9,000 years old.
That's true, yes.
Yes.
Ancient teenagers.
And there are people in their 60s and 70s and 80s that are still very childish. Mm-hmm. And so for me, age has a marvelous space. And I think what you're bringing up is a need to address ageism in many cultures where the age people who are elders are not respected as a human being, but that they are like out of the workforce and therefore do not matter. So I hear you. Ageism, like racism or classism or fundamentalism, is again part of that process.
I want to send senescence into obsolescence. I really want to enable people to harvest their lives, to bless what they've lived through, the triumphs, the tragedies, the realized dreams, the bitter disappointments, the acts of love, the shock of betrayal, and to convert this rich experience into wisdom. That's another great archetype, the archetype of wisdom.
Yes, and I think that, you know, transcending our emotional drama, wallowing in our emotional selves, not that emotions are incorrect, but they can really hijack our higher consciousness if we are not aware. So yes, Jean, really celebrating the splendor of who we are, what we are capable mm-hmm. of doing, and seeing these emerging forms come up. And the other thing that you brought in when you spoke of whole systems transformation is the need for every citizen, for every human being, to be aware of the patterns that are unworkable for Mother Earth or for each other. So unworkable patterns are part of human creation, you know. We put in place very often systems and norms that at that time may have been the best, or we thought it was the best. And now it's lived its life and it's actually a destructive force. So unless we can be dynamic, and the only sustainable space is what you call our human potential at its depth and beauty, anchored in these universal spaces, Indeed. Then we have the openness and the joy and the way of engaging that is not stuck to our opinions and our past experience, but use that past experience to transcend our egoic selves. Beautiful.
Well, it's the emergence of a new kind of self. That's why I talk about the need for social artists, the people who can help people, citizens, leaders, to bring new mind, new spirit, new perception upon social change. And that way we can rise, as I've written somewhere, to the challenge of our times and bring ourselves across the dangerous abyss that separates a dying era from a borning one. And I do believe that we are in the time of a borning one, encouraging a culture of participation. And this is that it brings the things that you talk about so beautifully about becoming capable of complex and coherent decision making. And this not only is about the inherent potential, bringing new potential, together with a real dedication, a social artistry, an artistry of social change to improve not just social conditions and communities, but to bring a new order of what it really means to be a leader. Now, you have seen leadership at every level, from the most simplest level in a particular society to the very large levels of the United Nations. What do you see about the nature of an emerging new form of leadership?
To me, Jean, it is what you said. It is the radical social artist. And the word radical I use very much like a mathematical term. That means the root of. So what will it take for us to be able to be that radical leader, that social artist that will make change? So for me, it is being anchored in our universal greatness, being able to shift unworkable patterns and norms, and be able to transcend vested interest into a world of spacious solutions that are enduring and sustainable. We've come to the end of this part of our journey, but we are going to reconnect with the listeners soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic action in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda. We live in a world battling for peace, threatened with violence and inequality being justified as both means and ends, sometimes disguised, packaged, and branded differently. This self-destructive worldview is dominated and backed by spurious arguments for leadership based on the idea of supremacy of race, religion, or culture, or of money. Monica's counter, a perspective drawn from contemporary idiom, is based on experience and conviction. It shows that leadership can be shaped with equality, freedom, justice, and where means and ends are rooted in the transformatory power of human compassion, described in her award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership. Let's explore this transformatory power of human compassion together. Join us for the program with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network twice a month on Tuesdays at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern, and every Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Share this information widely. Enroll people who want to make a difference. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network hosts many programs that unite humanity, sourcing our love. Are you satisfied with the world as it is today? If you're not satisfied, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma, starting March 2019 in Oakland, California. It's open to all changemakers wanting to generate equitable and sustainable results for well-being. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. Everyone has the potential to be a leader, a person who creates a new future through actions in society, at home, and at work. In this program, you'll discover pathways for unleashing our human potential to create new futures through strategic action. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. We need new leadership capacities to face the challenges of today's world. To think differently, design strategically, and act on principles with accountability and generate results. These new capacities must be able to align principles, purpose, and practice to build a better world. Again, join us for a program to unleash your full potential with Dr. Monica Sharma in March 2019 in Oakland, California. Contact 415-808-4465. That's 415-808-4465. Go to risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership. That's risetogetherbayarea.org/leadership.
It's wonderful to be back again. This is Monica Sharma, and I am delighted to have Jean Houston join us, who is our guest speaker for today. Jean, you have so much experience worldwide, and we wanted to leave our listeners together with a few points, right? So I wanted to begin with something you started this session with, which is the rise of the feminine in both women, men, and in all genders. What would you like to say about that?
Well, you see, I think that one of our great problems is that we have made such a radical distinction between the capacities of women and men. Carl Jung actually did that, you know, when he talked about the anima and the animus as essentially broken or apart. And I think that when we talk about qualities of women, the emphasis on process rather than product, on making things cohere, develop, grow, inner space being equal to outer space, the subjective, you know, flowing into the objective. And yes, women have been, I think, somewhat isolated by being saying, oh, this is a woman's, the nurturer, the nourisher. Yet I know plenty of men with the same qualities, you know. Similarly, knowing women with tremendous qualities of rational, linear, objective, making things result, you know. I think we need, in this time where we do have the rise of women to full partnership with men in the whole domain of human affairs, which is happening with also terrible backlashes, because you don't change the modalities of thousands of years in a few hundred months. But I think it is that the qualities that we are talking about, nurturing, nourishing, deep caring, the emphasis on, as I say, process rather than product. These are things that also are there in the male form, just like the male forms are also there in women. How, then, do we begin to create a world in which 51% of the human race, women, rises to authentic involvement in business, in games, in medicine, in theology, and is met by the male complement in such a way that we are all appreciating of each other. Now, this means going beyond certain standards and expectations of thousands of years. And this is something that I find happening the world over in exceptional ways. We see the rise of new orders of women leadership in all of these things, and this is creating not just a kind of tension necessarily, but it's also creating literally new ways of being and thinking in the world that goes even beyond the great divide between the male and female qualities. It's as if a whole new order of quality, of the things that you talk about, of equity, of compassion, I think it's a third thing that is coming through that has never really been there before. I think it allows for a different kind of spirit, a different kind of narrative coming into time. Now, for example, in the movies, we have all these new movies brought coming from Marvel Comics of what we would call metamorphs, people who have strange, they can become part spider, part ant, part wasp, part bully, but at the same time you have Wonder Woman, don't you, who comes in with a great deal of compassion and caring in addition to her other expected remarkable capacities. Something new is being brewed in human nature, that's what I want to say, that is both male and female and beyond them all. Whether it is a cosmic agentry, whether it is an agency for making a healthier world, but it is something else. I don't think it has a definition yet. I think it goes beyond definition, but it is very, very, very exciting that I see emerging in this world and time in my work around the world.
Thank you, Gene. And, you know, you asked me two questions in this radio show, and you just expressed a couple of points that resonate with the work I do, and I know that you believe in that too, is that we have emphasized a separation between what you call process and what you call product, and
yes,
very often product is called result.
Yes.
And what we now have designed is new templates that both process and product as one whole that rests and is anchored in universal values. Because processes without values can be propaganda that's disruptive, and products without values can decimate both planet and people. So when we are able to integrate the new social artist, the radical transformational leader, uses templates that are able to integrate process and product,
very good,
process and results, anchored in universal values. And there are ways to do it. There are things to learn. And I think one of the spaces that are so important is to embark on learning new ways of engagement beyond wishing that life would change. Because wishing is, like, for me, an aspirational space. But beyond aspiration for reality to emerge, we need to be able to learn new methods, tools, and techniques. Mm-hmm. And you said one thing that was so beautiful right now. And you said, you know, it is beyond just man and woman, masculine and feminine, and all genders. That beyond is the new emergent human who is mm-hmm. able to hold and ground themselves, the human beings who ground themselves in this universal space. And actually, the new superheroes will be able to ground themselves in these universal spaces that you have referred to and be able to tackle the systems that are disempowering people, whether they are economic systems, finance systems, cultural systems, any ism that is divisive. So I think this is just great. And to me, when citizens are able to engage in this way, Gene, and are able to be social artists who create radical transformational setups, I think we have something. What would you like to say as a conclusion to our conversation today?
Well, I believe that what is happening in this new emergence is the discovery of new styles of interpersonal connection, new ways of being in community given a global society. And I think the movement seems to be from the egocentric and the ethnocentric to the world-centric. With at the same time, yes, a universal society, but at the same time with high, high appreciation of culture. And this is a fundamental change in the nature of civilization. And this is partnership across many, many, many different ways of what before had been seen as a great divide. It is crossing the great divide of otherness. And it raises, it then becomes smarter, more intelligent, orchestrating the multiple variables and getting along with the multicultural realities of both the, not just the modern world, but the inward world, that raises hope for forgiveness between healing among nations, ethnic groups, a matured consciousness, which is a moral and ethical growth toward empathy between individuals, cultures, that honors the golden rule of human interchange. And so in this happening, and this is what the aim of social artistry is, it is to implement the current transition toward creative change, creative growth in many arenas, inner and outer, that allows us to bring us into authentic new ways of being. This requires training, many kinds of training, cross-cultural training, human development training, cultural capacities, potentials. It demands that, as I said in the beginning of the conversation, that we're in the hothouse. We're in the hotting of time that requires the emergence of people, of pattern, of culture, of living that has never really been seen, a new kind of organic growth that is the lure of our becoming and the establishment of a commitment to values worldwide that has never been called for before. This is a tremendous growth that we're in the midst of. That's why I, and I believe you too, Monica, are in a state of seeing, being optimistic in the new seeing that has emerged. And so I think that we are in the most interesting time in human history. Other times in history thought they were it. They're wrong. This is it.
Thank you, Jean. Yes, it is about individual transformation that leads to cultural and social transformation. Thank you, and thank you to all listeners for being part of our conversation.
Thank you, Monica. I've learned so much in this conversation.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.